Welcome everyone to the Metro Access Subcommittee meeting this afternoon on Monday, November 15th, 2021. Believe it or not, Thanksgiving is around the corner. To begin with, please note that this meeting is being recorded and we would be placing the meeting audio on our website as we do for all of the full committee as well as the subcommittee meetings. Just to share a few helpful tips, everyone joining via phone call, you can press star six to unmute or mute yourself. If you would like to make comments, you can virtually raise hand or lower hands by pressing star nine. Everyone who is on the video conference, you can click on the speaker icon to unmute or mute yourself. And if you'd like to make some comments, you can virtually raise or lower hands. If you go under reactions, you can click on the hand icon and that will do the trick. We do appreciate one speaker at a time. As you know, we have interpreters with us on this call. I would request everyone when speaking, please state your name first. It helps them doing their job well done. It also helps everyone on the phone call knowing who is the speaker. Chair Samaford, with your permission, at this point, I would go ahead and read the agenda for today's meeting.
Go right ahead.
Thank you. Before I read the agenda, I would share my screen for those who can see, and at the same time, I would read the agenda out loud. So if you would bear with me while I share my screen. Okay, I'm hoping my screen is visible at this point. Yes. Okay. So we would, after I read the agenda, we would go through the roll call of our AAC Metro Access Subcommittee members. Afterwards, we would have the review of the today's meeting agenda, followed by approval of prior meeting minutes. At 4:10, we do have customer service report. And if there is any outreach report, 4:15, we will have the Michael Wilson Award and the AAC Metro Access Safety Award. As everyone may recall, the Rush Award has been deferred until we go back to the in-person meetings. At 4:25, Mr. Blake will give us an update about the return of shared rides on Metro Access. Mr. Blake will also give us an update about Metro Access sedans. At 5:10, we have a slot for open discussion. At 5:30, we will have any public comments and the meeting will adjourn at 6 p.m. At this point, I would stop sharing my screen. As mentioned, I would go ahead and take the roll call of our committee members for today's meeting. So please confirm your presence. Elver Ariza Silva. Darnese Bush. Tina Palabia.
Present.
Thank you. Vanessa Coles.
Present.
Thank you. Rico Dancy.
Present.
Thank you. Deborah Fisher.
Present.
Thank you. Marcy Goldstein. Melanie Henderson. Steve Caffin. Thomas Mangrum. Philippa Mazel, Anthony Oberg, Phil Posner.
It wasn't me, but I am here.
Okay, thank you. I apologize.
Where is my timer either?
Okay, no, that was my phone. I'm getting a phone call, so apologize for that. Doris Ray. Denise Rush.
Present.
Thank you. Paul Samuelford.
Here.
Thank you. Patrick Sheehan.
Here.
Thank you. And Kelly Simonon. Okay, that concludes our roll call for today's meeting. And just to share at this point, we have 8 committee members present. And as more committee members join, I will mark their presence. Chair Somerford, with no further ado, I would request for you to move the meeting forward. You have the floor.
Sure, thank you. So first we're gonna redo a review of the agenda and minutes from the prior meeting. Review this agenda and the minutes from the prior meeting. With this agenda, are there any additions to this agenda? Any topics y'all wanna add? Then Phil?
Here, yes. If we could, when we're getting the update on the sedans, could we also get an update on the new vans? The board has asked about that at the last two meetings. And I know Mr. Millis and the group have sent in things to purchasing, but the board keeps asking about it. So I thought if there is any update.
All right, so I will add that to Mr. Blake's plate along with the sedans to give any updates about the van, the new Metroaxis vans that we discussed and gave recommendations for. Anything else, anyone? We definitely have the time and room on this agenda. Hearing nothing else, I would like to move the adoption of the minutes with the additions to the agenda that was made by Dr. Posner.
So moved.
All right, all those in favor for the revised agenda, please do so by saying aye.
Aye.
Nays, abstentions, the motion carries for the newly modified added agenda. Thank you. Next, we're going to have review of the minutes from the last month, from the month of, this is November, October. Are there any additions, corrections, changes to, or suggestions to the minutes that need to be made? From anybody? Hearing the crickets again, I would like to adopt the minutes from October as is, if I can get a motion.
So moved.
Can I get a second?
Second from Patrick.
All right. All those in favor moving the minutes of October 2021 for Metro Access Subcommittee as is, please do so by saying aye.
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 Nays, abstentions, the motion carries. Next, we're going to have our, Michael Wilson Award and AAC Metro Access Safety Award. So, I'm sorry, I just jumped myself. Customer service and outreach reports, Ms. Anderson and team.
All right, you're scaring me there, Mr. Semaphore.
All right.
good afternoon, everyone. At this time, I'd like to present Kay Clark with MTM to give us our readout on the public comments that were presented from our last meeting.
Thank you, Ms. Anderson. Good afternoon, everyone. There were no outstanding public comments to be addressed from the month of October. However, I do want to provide the commendation count for the month of October. We had a total of 291 commendations for entire Metro Access, and that includes the organizations and the service. So with that, we have First Transit at 43, TransDev at 68, MV at 47, Challenger 46, Diamond Transportation 79, MTM had one, Eligibility also had one, and then Curb had 6, a total of 291. Again, thank you. This concludes my report for the day.
All right. Thank you for that.
Quick question. So y'all even delineate down to the taxi companies or Ability Rise providers. Wow. Okay. That's interesting to hear.
So we do not have any outreach, specific outreach to report on. However, we do continue to field any calls that come forth to either ADAP or the MAX office from customers.
Thank you so much. So next we're going to Ms. Anderson. Do you have a Michael Wilson Award recipient? I guess an AAC Metro Access Safety Award recipient.
We do. We have a twofer today. So I am so glad to present Mr. Marlon Bates with First Transit, who will be presenting our Michael Wilson Award recipient, as well as the first AAC Metro Access Safety Award. So with that, Mr. Bates.
Thank you, Ms. Anderson. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Okay, great.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm very, very happy, excited to make this presentation. And actually, it's a twofer, but it's two for the same person. Mr. Dennis Watson, our operator, he has really set the bar really high for safety. So I'd like to read a little bit about him. And Mr. Watson is on the call, so he'll be able to chime in himself. But Mr. Watson, for the AAC part, on February 4th, back in February, he had an incident where he was traveling northbound on Addison Road, south approaching Pine Grove Road in Capitol Heights, when there was an out-of-control vehicle that came rolling rapidly down a hill into the path of his vehicle. Now, although he was unable to completely avoid that broadside collision, Mr. Watson showed great skill and laser focus on safety and maintaining control of his vehicle so he didn't go over the guardrail and into the woods. His quick, decisive, safe action saved both himself and his passenger from very serious injury. Mr. Watson showed the true meaning of using your five Smith System keys and demonstrating a continued excellence in safety as reported by DriveCam. As such, as a company, we are also nominating him for the Lydic Safe Operator of the Year Award for his actions and his defensive driving, even in the face of an out of control vehicle rolling down a hill. Now, a little bit about Mr. Watson. He's a native of DC, so that makes him a native Washingtonian. He's been with us for 5 years now. Prior to that, he was a park police officer for 10 years. And he enjoys assisting and transporting passengers to and from their destinations in a safe, customer-friendly, timely manner. Outside of working, Mr. Watson enjoys fishing, sightseeing, watching Western movies, and spending time with his family and friends. He's a consummate professional who can always be depended on to be here on time, ready to perform his responsibilities, and in a manner which we can all be very proud of. So I would like to, at this time, ask Mr. Watson, I see that he's on mute, but if he would have a few words that he'd like to share with the committee, please do so, Mr. Watson.
Yes. Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, sir, we hear you.
Yes, we can. Yeah, you may go ahead and speak, Mr. Watson. Go ahead.
Well, I appreciate everything that everyone is doing, especially receiving this award. That's something that I never thought I'd be receiving, but I really appreciate it. I thank WMATA for offering the award, and my First Transit co-workers with safety and management. I thank you. Yes, I thank you.
Thank you, sir. Thank you for your service. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you. And congratulations, Mr. Watson, on a well-deserved Michael Wilson recognition, as well as the first Metro Access AAC Safety Award. So with that, I'll turn it back over to you, Chairman Semaphore.
Thank you so much. Mr. Blake, you're up. Well, you know, both, but I guess the return of shared rides, I'm sure we would like to hear an update from you, and I'm sure people have questions.
Yes, so good afternoon, everyone. Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman. We have returned to shared rides on Metro Access. That means far as Metro Access is concerned, and WMATA's trying to get there overall, we're back to normal. We're now in the, I won't call it the post-pandemic phase, because that's, I don't know if that's totally officially been declared by anyone yet, but we are back to normal service on Metro Access. The shared rides this week, of course, yeah, we've had some calls and customers are doing some things, but overall, the service is back to normal. And that's what we all want to get our country, our region, and the world is back to normal. And so we're doing our part, but we're remaining safe. We could always turn back if there's a reason to do so. Of course, we hope that no such reason comes about, but we remain vigilant and emphasizing the wearing of the mask and ventilation to protect the drivers and the customers alike. So again, we had a normal week last week, pretty quiet. Starting off this week, pretty good. Nothing major, but if you have any questions or concerns, I'm certainly here to address them.
So before everyone starts jumping their wonderful hands, I do have a question for you, Mr. Blake. So as we return to share rides, the only observation I have, well, there are two of them. The first is with customers who are in a mobility wheelchair device. I had the opportunity, not once, but twice, having to climb over a customer to get past. How do we, I know it's hard, minimize that, if that makes sense. I understand it's a shared ride, but not in the sense that the way it's done, I guess.
Now, you say when you say you had to climb over a person.
Not climb over, climb, go past, like squeeze. It's like a
tight squeeze. You have to do the, what did Ms. Rush call it? The Cupid shuffle on the van where you have to turn to the side. And
obviously it's not conducive to untie the person, move them out of it. We don't want to do all that. So how can we alleviate that issue? Because again, you're getting close to basically past the person. That's I think people could probably may perceive that as an issue. That's
wiggle
wobble.
The wiggle wobble. Okay, the wobble. That's right. Not the shuffle. You did the wobble. Okay, yes. All right. So that is a challenge. We know, and I'm going to give an update on the vans in a second, although there's not a whole lot new there. But we know that the current van is a tight space when there's a wheelchair customer on the vehicle and the wheelchair lift is not deployed. So we're just asking customers to be patient. You had two trips that way, and I recognize that. Now, generally speaking,
because it was to the point where I had stuff, I had to tell the driver, you have to probably take it out the back door, because obviously I don't want this to hit the person.
Yeah, well, no, we don't want anyone touching each other. But again, we're just asking what we did before the pandemic, because this isn't pandemic related, obviously. I mean, we had these challenges prior to the pandemic. So the way before the pandemic, I don't think any customer wanted to touch other customers. So we're just asking customers to try to return to normal. If it's really tight because there's a customer in a wheelchair there and you can't squeeze by, yes, ask the drivers to provide as much assistance as possible to make an accommodation available. But what I was going to say is what we're trying to do, and this is what I'm trying to do, and it depends on great drivers like the one we just heard and all of our drivers coming out and performing their service on time and for the full route. We're trying to keep enough resources on the street so that the experience of shared rides is still limited to or very limited. That's our goal. Shared rides is back. We're back to normal. But we're trying to have enough resources on the street so that the experience of a shared ride is not a regular routine experience just yet. So think back what you did when you had to squeeze past a person in a wheelchair or other mobility device prior to the pandemic. We're asking customers to return to normal, remain safe, keep your mask on, do not talk to the drivers during the door-to-door process or the securement process. And as you're squeezing past another customer, please don't talk at that point either. And we'll just try to get through this until we cycle out of these vehicles and get some other vehicles in the mix.
The other piece I have is, as I look on the messaging on the IVR and in the van, I know it's cosmetic, but about taking that rear seat, that really doesn't apply anymore because you got customers on board. So when are you probably going to take that language out?
That's a good point. We can talk. I mean, Mrs. Williams Hall is on, and so is Ms. Anderson. I'm just thinking on the surface, okay. But it doesn't have to be this way. And if you and other customers kind of recommend it, I'm not against removing it. But again, going back to the point I was just making, where my goal right now is to have enough resources on where shared rides is still a minority of trips, not the majority of trips. And I can't guarantee that, but that's my goal. I would still rather customers who are ambulatory to first go to the far rear seat, one of the two seats in the back, as opposed to another seat. But of course, if there's already a customer back there, then yeah, that doesn't relate. But if we're still trying to have customers spread out, I think it would still be prudent to have customers orient themselves to the back seat unless the seat is occupied. But I'm open to suggestions. If you believe it should come down,
I'm just saying, given the fact you say it's up to three people, and obviously there's someone sitting in the front, you got a wheelchair, that's someone closer to the driver, is it relevant at this point?
That's a fair question.
I just throw that question out there, that's all.
All right, well, I'm meeting with the team in the morning, and what
just
we may
to think
do,
about.
Yeah, we may take it down, or we may replace it with a more relevant message. How's that?
Okay. All right, okay. Now having seen that, I see hands up and Nuke can help me. I think I see Phil and then Vanessa. Is there anyone else? Anu?
Those are the two hands up at the moment, Chair Samuel.
So I will take Vanessa first and then Phil. Go ahead, Vanessa.
Thank you. So I had two experiences since we've done shared ride of getting to 30 minutes late. So the first day we started, there were us on the bus, and it was the second person and the third person we went to pick up. And then they took me to work first. They went past this lady's job. She was very upset. And not only was I half an hour, she was going to be an hour late from her job. So I'm not sure how this coordination goes, but I was also late today getting to work 30 minutes late, and there was nobody on the van with me. So I don't know what's going on with scheduling, but I only work part-time, and they mentioned to us, they only bill 4 hours or 8 hours. So 30 minutes for me, either I have to make it up through my leave. Well, that's the only way. So I don't know what's going on with that, because there was nobody in the van with me today, and I was still 30 minutes late.
Okay, well, I can certainly look at your trips. As I always tell you, give me a call and I'll check it out, but I hear you and we'll look at the trip today. Now, when you say you were 30 minutes late for work, was your trip booked by appointment time or pickup time?
Well, I have a subscription.
Right.
So my subscription is the same time every day.
I got that. But okay. I'm with you. We'll look at the trip. But I guess what I'm trying to make sure of, and one of the things we changed when we went back to shared rides, and that's why we gave customers nearly 2 months to prepare, because the times you were picked up when we were doing a direct trip service cannot be the same time you're being picked up now and still get to the same destination from the same pickup in the same amount of time. So that's why I was just wanting to make sure if your trip was booked in a certain fashion but of course, you know, I'll take a look at it, and I will. I'm trying to find you right now, and I will see what's going on. Coordination is still a challenge. I do recognize that. Yeah, see, Ms. Coles, I'm looking at your trips now, and neither one of your trips today were booked by appointment time. So we're going to have to talk to you about that. And I'm sure Ms. Anderson can call to help. And
well, for me, if you're saying to make my prescription appointment, then that means I have to leave at 6, which means I will get to work a whole hour early. So you're saying I have to accommodate my trip and be to work early. I may not be in the office when I get there so that we can get an on-time rating. To me, that is not acceptable.
I understand, but we're saying, you're saying you were at work late, and I don't have the information right in front of me. I just see the trip because I get a copy of all the trips each day. I'm just going to guess, based on where you're coming from and where you're going, the amount of time on your trip is less than, even if you were 30 minutes late to work today. I'm just taking a guess, and I could be wrong. I obviously could be wrong, and we'll follow up with you. But looking at where your origin and your destination was, even if you were 30 minutes late, the amount of time you spent on the van was probably less than the fixed route equivalent time. And keep in mind, shared rides and Metro Access is a public transportation service. So I hear you when you say being on the vehicle at 30 minutes early.
But there was no shared. There was no one sharing the ride.
I got you, Ms. Coles. That's probably somebody perhaps canceled. But the way we have to schedule, because we're talking about equality, not special service. We're talking about equal service.
I'm not looking for special service.
I understand. But what I'm saying to you, Ms. Coles, is we're going to pick you up on time to the greatest extent, and I'll watch your trips, and I'll take a look at what's going on. Well,
that was probably the first thing, is that they picked me up at 5 minutes outside of my window.
Okay, well, look at that. I'm going to look at the trip, but I'm saying about the your first issue was you were 30 minutes late for work, and I'm going to say to you, Ms. Coles, as I say to all customers, if your trip going to work was faster than if a person who's not eligible for Metro Access would have gotten there using the bus and the train, because that looks like a bus and train route that would have to take, then Metro Access on the front end, if we were outside the window, we were wrong and you would be rewarded for that. But if we got you there in less time than it would take to get on a bus or rail, we actually did our jobs in that regard. So we'll talk about it, but keep in mind, we're back to shared ride service based on the fixed route equivalent time.
All right, thank you. Phil, you're up next. Go ahead, Phil. Can someone unmute Phil?
Am I on the screen, by the way? Do y'all see? Because I can't see myself.
I can see you, Mr. Blake.
I
behind those cars.
Okay. Behind the cars, yeah. Okay.
All right, go ahead, Phil.
Okay, I'm unmuted. The thought I had is for health safety and limiting exposure, I was thinking that if there's a way to take the rides that have PCAs, those are folks that are in close contact all the time. And it might be useful to put them in the sedans or the taxis. Or if you have, like Ms. Coles just had, a van that only has one person in it, put in that one person that has a PCA. And that way we're being health-wise and inefficient. I don't know if it can be done, but it's just a thought.
No, that's fair. So let's start back in the first piece. Right now, and this is just for now, and we're probably going to do this to the end of the calendar year, and maybe, and you're a medical doctor, so correct me where I'm talking out of turn here, but following the science as we're trying to do, the winter or the colder months of the year were considered to be the months that were going to be a challenge. So when it came to the sedans, we're going to keep the sedans as one passenger, like a Ms. Cole's trip, traveling by themselves for now, at least to the end of the calendar year, and perhaps through January or perhaps February, and then we could do what you're talking about with the PCA and other passengers. When it comes to Ms. Cole's trip this morning, I have to look, as I was saying, but I could be wrong, I haven't looked at it. The likelihood that she was scheduled on a van to be picked up and taken directly to her destination is less than likely. What's more likely is that there was a cancellation or a trip movement, because if we were outside of her pickup window, that probably meant they moved the trip off of the van to keep the vehicle moving forward. But to your overall point, yes, we're trying to keep the customer spread out, and we're utilizing the abilities ride providers in a percentage much greater than would normally be the case, because that is in fact what we're trying to do. We have a lot of vans and sedans on the street, and we're using a lot of abilities ride providers for those customers who enjoy that side of it, because we're really trying to keep all of our customers spread out while still reintroducing shared ride service into the mix.
Thank you. Any other questions from committee members on this topic before we move to the next one with Mr. Blake?
Chair Samuelford, this is Anu. Deborah Fisher has her hand up. Deborah, go ahead and unmute yourself.
Thank you. Mr. Blake, I just am curious, and I apologize if you said this before and I missed it. What percentage of use did you have this week, percentage against pre-pandemic rate? How quickly are people taking advantage of the shared rides, particularly among the provider population that you know that I'm involved with?
Okay, what you're asking, I believe, so correct me. Now, pre-pandemic, it was a lot, but I think what you're asking me is what percentage of trips on Metro Access had a shared ride versus a direct trip?
Right. And if you have, and obviously you may not have the exact numbers, but just sort of a sense of how the IDD community providers are easing back into it, or I'm just trying to get a sense of whether they're avoiding the use of the shared trip completely, or they're easing in, or just how they utilize it.
Okay, now when it comes to specific locations and destinations, I definitely don't have that number at the moment.
No, I know that, but we can kind of look into it.
But
yeah,
it's, keep in mind, shared rides is not the customer choice per se.
Right.
It's Metro Access scheduling and moving trips throughout the day. So what I think we're working on such a measure, because I was always using something called productivity, measurement of call productivity. And a productivity measurement in paratransit, we say, how many passengers per every hour that a vehicle is on the road? And high productivity for us is like 1.10. That means there are 1.1 customers on the van for every hour. During the pre-pandemic, we were about right around one. So that meant one passenger for every hour on a vehicle. Now that does mean they're shared rides, but there's some more, some less. During the pandemic, we were at 0.7 or 0.8, but around 0.7. Some weeks were 0.6, which makes sense because we were only carrying that passenger in those other cases when they had a PCA and children, et cetera.
Right.
Throughout the first week of the return to shared ride, we were at about 0.9. So you see, there was an increase.
Yeah. You see, there was an increase.
Now, how many percentage of the total trips that we did last week had to share? I think we're looking into that, because I saw, and I don't even know if he's on tonight, but we're always joined by the editor of Transit Access Magazine. And I read in his last edition where one of the nation's paratransit providers quoted it as a percentage of trips. So I've asked my team to work to develop that. So by the next meeting, and I mean the next meeting, I mean the AAC meeting, we don't have to wait a whole month, I should be able to answer your question specifically as to, in the first week or the first 2 weeks, what percentage of actual Metro Access trips did customers witness a share ride?
That would just be helpful. And then as a just add on to that, if you think it would be helpful to meet with some of the providers and just sort of fill them in, I don't know what kind of, are they going back to the Abilities Ride program? But if there's something we could do to perhaps bring Metro Access to a meeting with the IDD providers to just catch them up on all the various options and answer questions, let me know and I'll set that up.
Well, yeah, please do. Let me know some dates and times. I mean, Patrick has me attending a meeting this week. I have to respond to his email. So if the chairman emeritus is on, I'm gonna respond to your email, but I will be at the meeting. But yeah, we're open to meeting at any time. So yeah, please just let me know date and time and we'll make it work.
Okay, I'll get back to you.
Okay, and Mr. Goldstein is who I was talking about. He's the editor of the magazine and I saw in his most recent publication, and he is on tonight. So that gave me the thought to ask my team about creating a way for us to measure that. So I won't just be quoting the productivity measure, but of the percentage of trips as well.
Thank you.
Yes.
All right. Thank you. If there's no other questions about this particular topic about the return to share rides, I'm sure it'll come up again in the future. I would like to go on to the sedans and the added questions about any updates on the new Metro Access vans that we were discussing previously and gave recommendations about.
Right. So let's start with the vans first. We'll come back to the sedans, and then we're gonna save the sedans for last. We're gonna start with the vans, talk about something called minivans, and then the sedans. The AAC obviously have given us a lot of feedback on that. You had, as Mr. Chairman Posner, we alluded to, Glenn Millis had participated in several meetings, if you recall, Mr. Chair and others.
Yes.
That solicitation is underway, but we pulled it back and we're going back to the market for a number of reasons, but partially, I would say, some of us have gained some additional experience of our current vehicles to get a more hands-on assessment and experience of the vehicles, and we're using some of that knowledge to help further enhance our van solicitation, because buying a large van is a heavy endeavor, and we want to get this right. And I remember one time one of our AAC members, I'll just say, Ms. Rush, called our current van a cargo van converted to carry some passengers. I won't say I disagree with her a whole lot. I mean, that's a good way of putting it. I mean, the Ford Transit has been used for a multitude of uses. So we're taking all the lessons we possibly can have from the Ford Transit, your personal experiences and the advice of the AAC, and now even some additional experiences of staff. And we're trying to make sure that the large van procurement is right. We want to make this right to the greatest extent possible. So that is not moving as fast as we thought it would be. So the likelihood that we're going to have some of these new vans by June 30th of 2022, which is our goal, is looking somewhat less than likely. But there's an old saying, I always say, my first political job, the senator told me, it's better to be slow and right than fast and wrong. And so we're okay with taking our time and making sure the big van, whatever the new generational van is as right as we possibly can make it from a comfort standpoint, a spacing standpoint, and utilization. So then that brings us then to something called the minivan. And if you all remember the MVs and other smaller vehicles we've had, but
are MV1s, yes.
MV1s, but were a wheelchair accessible vehicle. Mr. Millis and the team and Ms. Collings and others are also working at the same time on the purchase of some minivans, partnering with some of the local governments that also use wheelchair accessible minivans. We are slightly more confident that we may be able to acquire some of those prior to June 30th, 2022. And keep in mind, any vehicle that we acquire that is also wheelchair accessible will replace some of the current Ford Transits. And that's, I think, I want to speak for the customers. I believe that's good news for just about everybody in terms of the current vehicle we have. Because again, the Ford Transit could be the base model for our larger van, but the interior will look a lot different if that's the vehicle we go with. But we're looking at minivans, a minivan that would hold one passenger in a wheelchair or mobility device, plus one additional passenger or PCA, but a passenger nonetheless. So that's one thing we're looking at. And then a vehicle, most likely, we're definitely going to get a few more of this year, will be about 50 more sedans. And those are almost a certainty. I mean, there are, you've heard of the supply chain challenges that the whole nation and world are facing. But other than the supply chain, it is extremely likely that we'll get 50 more sedans, and that will be our last sedan purchase in terms of conventional vehicles, gasoline-powered vehicles for approximately 3 years. So that would be the end of the sedan purchases for about 3 years. And then finally, and I know I'm throwing a lot at you and I'm open to some questions or comments or concerns. Chairman Posner mentioned the board members' interest in our vehicles. And so one is the, what van are we going to use as the bulk replacement of our current fleet? That was the first one I talked about. Another interesting question that has been raised by the board members is the possibility or almost the requirement of Metro Access to move to an electric vehicle fleet. And we are talking about adding some electric vehicles to the fleet to give the providers an opportunity to use them and help us learn and understand the challenges that may come about. One of the reasons we're not moving quickly in that direction is because there's really, in our humble opinion, only a few vehicles right now on the market that are reliable enough and quite frankly, large enough to satisfy our customer base at the moment. That doesn't mean we will not purchase some electric vehicles in the next year or two, a very small number, maybe 10 or 20 at the most. What name will be on there, we'll see. But again, I can tell you, and I think of some of my favorite customers, I can only imagine trying to get some of our customers in the back of a Chevy Bolt. So we know we're not going to go in that direction. So we're looking for a vehicle whose back door may not open wide. It may open up if you get my drift. And we want to get the customers to be comfortable while giving us an opportunity to see how a paratransit vehicle will operate in service. So we're looking at a multitude of vehicles. Up next will likely though be the sedans, followed by some minivans, and then we'll get to the larger heavy duty van once we take all of the things that we've learned and heard from you, but also experienced ourselves to try to make the solicitation right. So I know that was a lot, but I'm open to any questions or concerns.
So I'll go off first and then I'll start seeing hands flying. So my first question is, let's go to these minivans. Mm-hmm. Would they be at the same size as or bigger than the NV1s, just to use that as a base, so to speak, because we experienced a few of those and know what they look like? Or would they be smaller than that? Because you're talking about the seating would be able to only hold maybe two other ambulatory people, where the MV1s, you had a wheelchair next to the driver and then a possibility of three people in the back.
Yeah, this is...
And how many were you thinking about purchasing is the next question.
We're looking at purchasing 100 minivans. The minivans, I don't want to say bigger or smaller. It's a different shape than the MV1. Let's put it that way. It's definitely a different shape. It's more of a van, traditional van shape with a sliding door. And a wheelchair and two other passengers, that's definitely doable. We're not really looking to use these to have a whole lot of people in them either. So I would say you should look for a van that would be able to hold a customer and a mobility device plus two other passengers. Although our ideally, we would only have two passengers at a time in them, but it's not going to be the case all the time. But ideally, in a minivan, we would like two passengers at a time at the most.
The only reason I say that is, even though they're not on the market anymore, the advantage of the MV1s is they were able to get into, how can I say it, more easily into conventional type fitting spaces to pick up passengers with ease. So as an advantage, you know, like for instance, in downtown DC or places like that, where, you know, you want to get a wheelchair customer on, you know, get them more easily, if that makes sense to you.
Oh, I totally get it. And I understand why this body purchased them. And I can tell you, the last remaining of the fleet is still being used over in Baltimore. You drive around town. Every once in a while, you'll run into one or two.
I run into them a lot in New York because they still have.
Oh, they're still using them in New York as well.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think we're moving more towards, well, one, I have to tell you, I don't know where you would purchase a brand new one at right now.
I heard they went kind of out of service, so to speak.
Yeah, so I don't think that's an option for us. But two, trying to partner with local governments and being a kind of a regional partner for this particular procurement, I won't say we're limited, but we have a selection to choose from. And the selection are van-looking vehicles. They look more like a traditional van as opposed to the look of the MV1.
So my next question would it be similar to the ones that Uber uses as wheelchair lifts? I'm thinking of that caliber where it's sort of a minivan and it can have that configuration of people. Just again, I'm trying to get in my mind, I get what it looked like.
Yeah, without giving anything away, that's a very astute observation, yes.
Okay. Yes. And those I know right now, MV Transportation has a hold on. I'm just saying.
But ours will look prettier and nicer.
Okay. So with that, Lou, are there hands with questions? I'm sure they are. Oh, yes, I see Phil and Denise Rush. So I'm going to take Denise first before Phil and anyone else.
Not at the moment.
Okay, go ahead, Denise. Denise?
This is Ms. Rush.
Go ahead.
I want to make sure that it's noted. We have already talked about if the wheelchair is on the bus and you are a passenger getting on the bus, you do the wiggle wobble to get by to get to a seat. But if you are already on the bus and a wheelchair person is picked up, you are a wide load, a heavier person, and you can't fit in the side seat. So you're on the seat right where they're going to strap down the wheelchair. That is a problem because there's not enough room for you and the bus driver to strap the wheelchair down. So
what Ms. Rush is talking about, and you're right, Ms. Rush, what she's talking about is if a person, and it doesn't necessarily have to be a wide load, to be honest with you, I mean, I've seen it now, if a person is sitting in their first seat and a driver is trying to strap a wheelchair down in front of them,
the driver's behind is in your face.
Yeah, okay, you said it better than mine. Okay, there you go. I mean, we know that it's tight, and that's some of the things we're looking to address, and that's one reason we're slowing down with the large vehicle procurement, because we want to make sure we get it right. But I agree with you on that one. Yes, ma'am.
Okay, so we just make sure you have that noted. We when you say duck your head, to a blind person, duck where? Mm-hmm. Duck your head to get on the lift, duck your head to get on the bus. Those are the two major problems that you have with the cargo van. And I would just want to make sure we don't do that purchase, you know. Yes, I might be gone, but I'll be looking down, watching you with both my eyes.
You're not gonna be gone. We're gonna dedicate the first one to you.
Okay.
Might have to have the music out there for you to do the wobble.
Okay. Thank you.
By the way, have you ever tried to get in a Chevy boat?
Well, no. I think I'm too wide.
Oh Lord, I didn't want you to say. Okay, let's go to Dr. Possman.
All right, I'm just talking about me. I'm not talking about other people.
I know.
Okay. Thank you.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you.
Well, just a reminder of why Ms. Rush had her problems. Those vans were unibody construction, and so the upfitters couldn't do much with them. The location of the rear wells prevented a lot of modifications that might have solved the problem. And the location of the exhaust system was the third major problem. So when they come out, I think it's important that the upfitters take a look at the wheel wells, wheel body construction, and exhaust system before the purchase is actually made to see whether they can make the appropriate modifications for wide bodies moving around. The other thing, not for this year, but I think it might be worth taking a look at autonomous vehicles in the future. And the reason I suggest that is the companies are going to those, and they're going to be looking for places to pilot them. And so there may be some that are very reasonably priced. And for some of the short single passenger trips, particularly to places like the mall, and up in Montgomery County, because Governor Hogan is putting in an awful lot of interstate and roads that are having the wayfinding apparatus for autonomous vehicles. So, you know, just for something in the future.
Well, if I can just add to that, and you beat us to a future meeting, but if you recall, I don't know if you were copied on it, but such an inquiry came from the Chairman Emeritus, Patrick Sheehan, as well. And so pretty soon at one of our upcoming meetings, I think it was going to be next month's Metro Access Subcommittee meeting, you were going to hear us talk about the possibility that we're going to put out a RFI, a request for information, for companies interested in piloting with the paratransit customers of this region, paratransit service provided by an autonomous vehicle. Out in Phoenix, they've already had such an experiment. So we were going to look and put out a request for information to see if any companies that are doing this type of work or any of the universities that are involved in this research are interested. And then we would, the concept that I have right now would be under the Abilities Ride program. Customers would have to enroll specifically for that service. And I couldn't even tell you where it's going to be because there are rules in terms of use of autonomous vehicles. Here in DC, I could stand outside our headquarters every so often. I saw one last Tuesday driving around, but I don't know if the rules would allow a passenger to be used. So the AAC is going to get an update. We're going to get your feedback on that idea of a pilot within the Abilities Ride program. And then we're going to send out a request for information, see if anybody's interested. And if they are, what part of the service area would they be interested? They may say, we only want to do these trips in, I'm just picking a place. I'm just throwing out a name, Fairfax, Virginia, because of whatever reason. We would look at that and say, if that's where the pilot would be, then there would be those customers who would have to sign up who are traveling in that area. But to your larger point, right now, Metro Access branded autonomous vehicles are not on the plate, but Metro Access customers utilizing it through the Abilities Ride program as a start, as a test, is certainly something we're considering and will be on the upcoming meeting agenda, either so, next month or afterwards.
So can you give the definition of autonomous vehicles?
Excuse me, Paul. That University of Buffalo and University of Michigan have large centers studying this. And Ms. Lopez is very familiar with the people working on those projects, particularly in Buffalo. Also, the regulations require in the pilots that the autonomous vehicles do have a driver in them. It's not driving, it's actually a person, a safety auxiliary person. So again, so the passengers don't freak out.
Right, that's correct.
It is required by law right now in all the pilots to have that. But Carol can probably hook you up with some of the folks up in Buffalo and Michigan who are really, really good at this. And they're working with all of the companies that are doing the pilots.
Okay, yeah. So you'll get some updates from us. And we will, yes, but we're going to give you an update on where we're at and get your feedback and help you inform us as to what we're seeking. And to Paul's question, what is autonomous? I think Phil kind of just answered it. What's going to happen is it's a vehicle that's driving on its own. So that's why we wanted to put it under the Abilities Ride program, because obviously a vehicle without a driver per se or a person providing service can't perform door-to-door service, obviously. So it's a vehicle that's driving on its own, but there will be a human being in the front seat to act as a safety measure in case the vehicle looks like it's making a mistake. But overall, it would be you, for example, getting in the vehicle on your own, getting out on your own, and the vehicle directing itself.
Interesting.
Did I lose everybody?
Oops. Still here.
No, you're still here. Okay, just want to make sure.
The blind leading the blind.
Oh, okay.
Okay, this is a new
change. Make sure that's in the minutes.
Will do.
Say that. Metro Access is now being led by the blind, leading the blind.
Okay. We'll add that. Chair Summerford, this is Anu. We do not have any more hands up for this topic.
So I know we have open discussion, but is there anyone for public comment? I would like to do that first before we swing back to that, since it's rare. I'm talking about customers that are not mentioned, that are not on the AAC, customers who are...
Yes. This is Anu again. We did not receive any public comments via phone messages or our email address. However, if we have any public members of the public who would like to make any comments now, please do let us know now. You can unmute yourself or you can send a message in the chat and we can put you on the list. And I would have to say, Chair Summerford, I am not seeing anyone raise their hand or send a chat message.
Okay, so I guess there's no public comment, or if anyone does have any and the meeting is over, I knew we'll make that announcement at the end of the meeting. pouch that can be done?
I would do so, yes.
So we have open discussion. So it's just rare. Is there anything to discuss AAC members? That's Vernon. Or is this a sign of everyone wants a early Thanksgiving break?
Well, we just got two hands up, Dr. Posner and Ms. Trush.
Okay, go ahead.
Dr. Posner?
This is just a quick announcement to remind everyone. This Thursday, there will be board meetings again. The Safety Committee and the Executive Committee and then the full board are going to meet on Thursday morning. And it will be discussion of all of the incidents that have taken place. Kelly and Tina might want to listen in because they will be discussing the incident at Arlington Cemetery in Ross Lynn. So you can get updated on that.
All right. Thank you, Phil. Ms. Rush?
There's only 6 more months of the session before June, and we need to pay better attention to the attendance and make sure we attend 2 meetings a month, because if we're not having everybody participate, we need to look at the attendance a little different or closer.
Well noted. Go ahead. Oh, I said well noted, and I think the new will follow up with that.
And Chair Summerford, if I may just add, I do try to contact our members just to touch base with them if they have been out of the meetings for a number of occasions. I do reach out to them just to make sure that everything is okay and how and when we can have their participation. So I have been successful on majority of the part. But I do continue to work on that up.
Thank you.
Thanks, Sanu.
All right. If there's no other discussions, I guess Sanu can say if anyone has comments, how they can deliver comments to about this meeting or anything like that, and then we can adjourn.
Sure. So as everyone knows that we welcome public participation, we welcome public comments, and anyone who is able to join the meetings can do that during the meetings. They can also send us public comments before or after the meetings. They can call at 202-962-1100 and leave a message, or send us an email at metroaacchair@vamada.com. That email is metroaacchair@wmata.com.
All right. Having said that, I would like to make a motion for adjourn.
I did want to add one thing. I did put my hand up, I'm not trying to stall the meeting. I mean, I don't get paid overtime, but I mean, this is like a record, and I don't want this to go. If we can, I mean, I would like, because he's been a participant in this meeting a lot. He's never said anything, but I wanted to know, would Mr. Goldstein like to introduce himself? And for those of you who don't know who he is, what he does for this industry in terms of keeping folks like myself and our team on our toes, but also informing us. If Mr. Ghost, I hate to put him on the spot, but we have a little bit of time. I wanted to know, did he want to say a word or two tonight while we have him? Oh, he said no, thanks anyway. Okay, there you go.
Right,
I tried. Okay, Mr. Ghost.
All right, so motion to adjourn. I heard so moved.
Chair Summerford, this is yes. Apologies for the interruption, but I do see Ms. Rush has her hand up.
Okay, go ahead, Ms. Rush.
Okay, my question is, when are we having the Hessinger presentation? Hettinger Award? Hello?
Srash, this is Anu. So from what I recall in our discussion in the last meeting, there was a proposal to discuss the recommendations in the next AAC meeting and then decide the date. The tentative dates were either in January or February of 2022, but if Dr. Posner, if you'd like to chime in, share any information. Or Patrick, anyone?
Hey, Anu, this is Pat. Yeah, that is correct. I think last year we did it, we thought we were gonna do it in January, but we had it in February. So I think that we'll probably do this. I don't think, we don't have a hard and fast. Plus IO, the committee, I think some criteria by early December on the.
Patrick, this
okay.
Is
also, one more question. Are you having more rides on the weekend at the $4 rate than normal?
I'll take that. I didn't notice any more rides this weekend. In fact, I think we were a little less than last weekend. So that hasn't totally impacted ridership yet, if that's your question. There's not been a significant impact to ridership yet.
Okay, the Federation for the Blind had a convention over the weekend, and usually we have about 20 plus persons that need to be picked up after the convention. We usually have people getting left. They're not being picked up on time. We ask for a supervisor. And in the past, we've had problems. I got a call that said, this is the first year everything went well without a supervisor. And they asked me to thank Mr. Blake for that everybody was picked up, because for many years that didn't happen. So thank you.
I appreciate that. Thank you. I didn't get a supervisor out there, but we were monitoring on that. But I'm glad that everything worked out, and I didn't get any reports. So I took that as a good thing. And then when you called me to confirm it, I was quite relieved. So thank you for that feedback.
All right. I just want it on record.
Yes, ma'am.
I know you always.
We're going to make sure that's in the minutes.
I just want to, because you say I never, treat you right, but I do.
Yes, you do. Yes, you do.
All right. On that note,
we'll put that in the record too.
on that,
have everything in the minutes.
All right. On that note, motion to adjourn.
So moved.
All those in favor, please do so by saying aye.
Aye.
All right.
Thanks.
See you later. Okay.